Hello, my name's Tamsin and I'm an addict.
Hi, Tamsin.
Whoa, scary, scary. Okay, experience, strength and hope. So my experience is that this is my second time in recovery. I think it's quite important that I talk about that because coming back is not easy. The first time I came into recovery was in 1995. And alcohol was my primary drug. I came into AA, I worked my steps, I went to meetings, and I did very well. Within 5 years, I'd gone from being unemployed to being the European sales manager. I was earning shed loads of money. I was a single parent with three kids. I was commuting into London from the home counties every day. And slowly, I stopped going to meetings. I just didn't have the time. I can't say for how long, it was exactly between 5 and 7 years before I had a spliff. Work was actually probably my first addiction that I picked up. I didn't understand about cross-addiction. I'd never looked at my drug using because I was in AA, and as it was then, it was very focused on alcohol. So when I came back, compared to the first time I came in, I had quite a high rock bottom. When I came in the first time, I came in because I had no choice. This time, I came in because I wanted recovery. Having lived a life and worked a program, I knew that there was something better out there. Using, when you're aware of recovery, is actually quite difficult. It really messes up your using because you know what you're doing. So a little bit about my life. I grew up in the care system in the 60s, between the care system and my mother. I went to 11 schools. So a lot of the things that I should have learnt... I like to say, actually, that I grew up in the wrong order because I learnt a lot of lessons very, very early on. But there was a lot of stuff I didn't know, and one of them was I was constantly on the move. I was always moving, and I never knew how I was meant to behave. Every time I moved to a new house or a new school or a new children's home, different things were expected of me, so I never knew what was right and what was wrong, although I had clear ideas for myself, actually, about what was right and what was wrong. When I left home at 15, I was out in the big wide world on my own, very fucked up, and started drinking, and picked up alcohol at about 15 and drank daily, really, for many years. I had my first child when I was just 18, and when I was 20, he was 2.5 years old, and he disappeared and was never found. I was in France at the time, and I had no family support, and obviously that was a really, really difficult time for me. And alcohol really, really was my best friend at that time. I went on to have 3 more revolting children. No, they're lovely. Especially now they've left home and grown up. And life was a struggle. All my children have different fathers. And to add to the complication, I have same-sex relationships. So back then, sort of in 1989, my youngest child's father decided that he wanted to fight me for custody of my daughter. And I ended up having a massive court battle, which took quite a few years. And I did actually retain custody of my children, but my mother and him wanted to sort of take them. And my children were never on an at-risk register or anything. The only thing that was used was my sexuality. And in those days, you could lose your kids just for being a lesbian. That was a long fight. I know that my court case was 5 days long, and there was a murder trial in the next courtroom, and it was over much, much quicker. So I had quite a lot of problems. About the time that my custody case started, I thought, you know, I need to get away, I need to get out. And I managed to get into university. And I had no qualifications, no education, so to speak. But luckily, I got into university. And I graduated 3 years later. And I drank all the way through university. When I was about 25, no, probably a bit younger actually, because when I was 22, I ran away to Greenham Common to save the world. And as you can see, I did quite a good job, because it's still here. and actually, that was quite a healing place for me, and I learned a lot about self-forgiveness, actually. That was my first experience of self-forgiveness, was at Greenham Common. And I also learnt about drugs as well, and so that was where I had my sort of first bit of speed, and I discovered weed. And when I discovered weed, I thought, this is amazing, I don't have to be pissed all the time. So what I was going to do is I was going to give up alcohol and just smoke weed, but as we know, I just did both. And then, you know, then it was a bit of speed, mushrooms, acid, just sort of the party drugs of the time. And then, obviously, then ecstasy came along. Coke was quite a big one for me for a while. And it was about 1989 that I stopped using drugs. They said to me, you know, you're using drugs. So I thought, OK, I'll stop, and I stopped. I had been dealing coke for 6 months at that time, though, and it had run out. So I think that had something to do with it. But I did. I stopped, and I went to university, and I sort of got my life back onto track. Once I graduated, I left Plymouth, where I'm from, and brought my kids up to the home counties so that I could get a job. And I had a lot to prove to a lot of people. But within a year of moving up here, my life had just completely fallen apart. When I was in Plymouth, I had a whole support network. I had friends, I had mates, I had people that would look after me when I was drinking, people that would help me with my childcare. We were all pretty similar. We all led pretty mad lives, loads of chaos, loads of drinking and using, and we all supported each other. Suddenly, I was alone, and that's what brought me into the rooms. I had a home detox and came in that way. And for 5 years, I went to meetings. I only managed to get to a couple of weeks. I had three kids, no car. There's no transport outside of London, as everyone probably knows. Mm. But it worked. It worked. And I stopped using drugs and I stopped drinking. And for 5 years, things were going really, really well. And then I stopped going to meetings. And it was a very gradual thing. I thought, and I'd heard it said a lot in meetings, that it would be, I would go out, I would pick up, and that would be it. Wham, I'd be straight back where I was. And that isn't my experience. My experience is it was a very, very, very slow return. Started with the odd spliff, then it was the odd half an E, then it was the odd few grams of coke. And, you know, it sort of, it was, but it was very, very slow. And about 7 years ago, I moved to London. And when I moved to London, I sort of didn't know very many people. I was moving into a whole new sort of world. My kids were all my youngest was 16 then. And it was very difficult. And I found that one way that I could really connect with people was by using, by hanging out with people who used. And that was what I did. And I did that for a few years until one day I just knew I couldn't keep doing it. I knew that my life was completely unmanageable. And I came back into the rooms, really. And it's not been easy, actually. It's not, you know, I would never say that it's easy. However, I like myself again. You know, I spent a lot of time alone using on my own. I couldn't stand people that use coke because they talk so much crap. So, of course, I never did. So I liked using alone, you know, and it was actually a very sad and very lonely existence. And when I did come in, the few people that I did know, were quite angry with me. You know, I found it really, really difficult, that initial breaking away from the people who you know and moving into sort of another area was quite hard for me. But I did the whole 90 meetings in 90 days, and that really worked for me. It's a really good framework, and I would recommend it to anyone. I got a sponsor. I've still got the same sponsor. And strangely enough, when I actually made that transition and came into the rooms, I discovered that I actually knew lots of people already that were in recovery, but I just didn't know that they were in recovery, because I hadn't been looking for people in recovery. And I always say, if I'd known, maybe I'd have come in sooner, but I didn't, so it doesn't really matter. but I came in when the time was right. I'm working my steps. I'm on step eight. I've been on step eight for quite a while, actually. It's quite a hard step. I found step four and five were amazing steps, the most healing, incredible steps that... in fact, every step I do, I find, is the most incredible and the most healing. And I really need to get a move on with my step eight, because I'm really dragging my feet on it. But sometimes I think, you know, it's so hard to write down all the damage you've done. You know, it's like, how do you write it when you're a mother, when you've got children, you know? And it's difficult. It's really, really difficult. I'm a grandma as well. And, you know, one of the real joys of being clean and sober is the pleasure that I get from my granddaughter, who's eight, and she's really fed up tonight, because she likes staying at my house on a Friday night so she can go to the Friday night women's meeting and go in the creche. And she said to me last week, "Grandma, do you get paid to go to that meeting? Is it your work?" And I was like, kind of. So she's really fed up. So I hope you're all grateful that I'm here. I suffered to be here. So really, you know, the most important things to me are, whatever happens, find time for meetings. I did believe that everyone was addicted to meetings, and that, you know, it's just as bad being addicted to meetings as being addicted to substances. That's not the case, actually. Being addicted to meetings really is going to help. So with that, I'm going to leave it. Thank you very much. Thank you.